I'm going to invite you to remain seated this morning. I'm going to go a little different format. Pray, saints, pray. Amen. A little different format. But if you would turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and you can remain seated. Do I have that where you can just begin with the title? Brother Michael, yes. I want to talk to you tonight about self or saint, and this may be one of those messages you just need to get the tape for somebody else. It's really not for you, but you can think of somebody it's for, and you want to bless them, and so you just bless them with a CD or a download. Maybe it's that kind tonight, but I really want to talk to you as a church. We're living in momentous times. We're living in crucial times. And I want to address that this evening. So let's pause and pray before we get started tonight. Father, I pray that you would speak not only through your word as it was originally given, but Lord, make it applicable to us tonight through the preaching by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your people that are here tonight that have gathered with hearts to hear from you and to receive from you. Holy Spirit, may there be a quickening and a moving in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to take me a long time to get it finished, but I began a trilogy on Winston Churchill. It's a lot of reading. But in World War II, of course, Britain was in dire straits trying to defend itself and survive against the attack of Germany. But the officials of the government over munitions and armory and weaponry met with the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill. They said, we've got a problem. Silver is of utmost necessity to get to build the munitions and the weaponry that we need, but we've run out of silver. And so he questioned them. He said, is there no more in the mines? There's no more we can get to right now. Is there any more in storage? No, there's no more in storage. Is there any in the industry that we can use? And the answer kept coming back, no, we are totally out of silver, and we've got to have silver. And one of the officials spoke up. He said, you know, I just thought of something. We got all these churches throughout England, all these abbeys and cathedrals. And all these churches have these statues of saints, and they're made out of silver. There's a source of silver, those silver statues of saints in the churches. And Prime Minister Winston Churchill said, I think it's time to put the saints into circulation. I want to tell you something. We live in war like we've never seen it. You know what I think? I think it's time we put the saints in circulation. Amen. When I was sick, I was reading through the Epistle to Romans, and I got stuck on verse 7. I just want to let you know enough that this is an epistle, and verse 7 is the greeting. I didn't even get past the greeting, and I got stuck there. I want to share this with you tonight. Look in verse 7. Here's how Paul greets him. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul greeted these Christians in Rome, he described them in two ways. Look there. He said, you are beloved of God and called to be saints. When I mused on that, it just leapt out to me that those two things that Paul put together, they must always come together. They must always exist together for us to be what God wants us to be. We need to have an awareness, first of all, that we are loved of God. We need to know that. But coming with that, we need to know also that we are called to be saints. You see, those two things must be emphasized. Now, here's the thing. Think with me, church. Really, our church world is not having a problem with the first of those things. That is being emphasized continually, and it's a wonderful truth. It should be emphasized. But churches everywhere are emphasizing we're loved of God, loved of God. I was just browsing through satellite Christian radio today, and almost every song was God loves you, God loves you. I'm not detracting from that message. We need to hear it. But there's another emphasis here. Not only are we loved of God, we are called to be saints. And while there's a good job being done emphasizing to people that we're loved of God, I don't think the second is an emphasis at all. It's missing. There is not the emphasis that we are called to be saints. Now, let me tell you what happens. Do you realize that if one of these is emphasized to the exclusion of the other, it'll always lead God's people down the wrong path? You say, what are you talking about? Well, if all people hear is the emphasis, you're loved of God, you're loved of God, you're loved of God, and that's all they hear, they will end up living worldly, half-heartedly, justifying sin in their lives, overlooking things that ought not to be. Because the total message is you're loved of God, you're loved of God. On the other hand, if the total emphasis is you're called to be saints, then the people of God become harsh and critical and cultic and isolated and even just plain mean. So if you have one without the other, the people of God go. But if you have the emphasis on both, then God's people become what he wants them to be. We're loved of God and we're called to be saints. We're called to be saints, but because we have the love of God, we're not mean. Amen. We're not harsh. We're not isolated. Amen. We see in our churches across our land a great shift in Christianity. And fundamentalist churches, not just Pentecostal, but even like the Baptist, if they're fundamentalist, they're being hijacked and emptied out by a modern church that has no preaching of sin, no preaching of righteousness. The only thing that is preached is love God, loved of God, loved of God, loved of God. And hardly ever is it gotten to that with the love of God, we are called to be saints. We're there. We're there. You see, let me tell you how this happens. A focus only on the love of God without an emphasis on being a saint will always lead to a selfish life and a selfish believer. If that's all I hear, I'm loved to God, I'm loved to God, I'm loved to God. Amen. Let me just put it this way. They have to be related. Because the less one sees the need to be a saint, the less one sees his need of holiness, the more selfish he will become. Why? Because by its nature, holiness, being a saint, is an abnegation of self. And self, by its nature, is a refusal and is a rejection of holiness. But when there is a heart for holiness, there's a heart to be a saint. There is a putting away, a putting down, a putting off of self. It's just simply the way that we are. And so thus having just an emphasis on we are loved of God will lead to self-centric worship, self-centered believers, self-centered ministry. I hear this all the time. You know, folks, they think they're offering a critique, but when they ask about a church, here's the way the questions go. Does the church sing my genre of music? Does the church have specially groomed programs and group meetings for me? Does the church preach messages that offer self-help and self-improvement? Do churches have beliefs that accommodate my lifestyle? That kind of attitude about church comes from an emphasis of simply being loved of God. You know, I've heard folks have become very critical of the traditional, the classical church, and they always use themselves as a criteria. I don't like that. I like this. I want this. I don't want that. They're using their self as a critique. And they say, I don't like the way my church sings. I don't like the way my church ministers and believes. I think it ought to be this way. But every time, and I'm not, I know this is just a small sampling, but every time someone develops develops that kind of critical spirit every time, you will also notice that is a person that evidences no desire for personal purity. They evidence no desire for holiness and righteousness and pursuit of righteousness. They go together. They simply go together. And so the church has simply lost the emphasis on this second part. We're called to be saints. And having lost that emphasis, they become selfish. Amen. Whereas if they would desire to be the saint God would have them to be, there would be a turning from self and a pursuit of God and His righteousness. You see, don't think it's just happened in the church. Do you realize this really has come from our modern world? This thing I'm sharing, you can see it in politics. You can see it all around us in the news of the day. Let me tell you how it goes. I know it's inundated the church, but it really came from the world. Let me tell you how it goes in the political modern thought. Tell me this isn't right. This is how people think today. You take care of me. My family takes care of me. My community takes care of me. My government takes care of me. Isn't that not modern thought? Notice what the direction is. The direction is always to self. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, it starts here, I take care of me. I take care of you. I take care of my family. And my family takes care of the community. The direction is away from self. It's away from self. That's what's wrong with our society. That's what has inundated the church. And you say, wait a minute. You say, for the church, you begin with self. I take care of myself. Isn't that selfish? No. Because the truth of the matter is, I cannot take care of my family if I have not first taken care of my own heart, my own relationship with God, my own standing with God. And so I got to start there, but I starting with self, I move away from self. Amen. Now that I've taken care of my relationship, I'm concerned about my family. I'm concerned about my community. I'm concerned about my church. It moves away from self. Amen. And that's what the call to be a saint is. It's a moving away from self. To focus only on being loved of God will cause a direction towards self. But to focus on being called to be saints has a focus of moving away from self. So let's just talk briefly about this. What did Paul mean? Called to be a saint. Well, first of all, he's not talking about religious hypocrites trying to act holy. You can always tell when it's a posture. You can always tell when people are trying to impress folks of how righteous they are. If you have to wear a t-shirt that says, I am holy, something's wrong. Right? Something's wrong. I'm not talking about the hypocrisy. I'm talking about a pursuit of the holiness of God that produces in our inner person. It produces in our hearts and minds this righteousness of God that bears fruit in all of our life and living, our attitudes and our motives and our entertainment and the way we think and the way we deal. You know, I've been all around. If we go back to the verse, if not, you can stay there. But when Paul said we're called to be saints, I've not even dealt with this yet. In English, we have all these different words. We have saint, sanctified, holy, holiness. But in the original language, they're all from the same word. They're all from hagios. I'm trying to say the verb. Odzo, there we go. They're all from the same word. And we get these different translations. And so when Paul says we're called to be saints, he's literally saying we're called to be holy ones. We're called to be holy ones. And the essence of this, and I could take a series on this, I won't, but in the scripture from the Old Testament on, the essence of being a holy one is to be a separated one. To be a separated one. And again, this would be a wonderful sermon in of itself. But separation, being holy, was always had three dimensions. First of all, you were separated from the world. But you were separated to God. And you were separated for a service, to do something for God. That's what it means to be a called to be a saint. God has called us to be separate from the world. He's called us to be dedicated to Him, and He's called us to serve Him in a very specific way. That's what it means to be called to be a saint, to live untainted by this world, to live in devotion to God, and to do something with our lives in the service of God. But however you want to interpret it, called to be a saint in the end has to mean that we're different than the world around us. We shouldn't think like the world around us. We shouldn't desire the same things the world desires. We shouldn't be attuned to the same fashions of this world. We ought not to have the right attitude. You know, when you know you're called to be a saint, you find yourself praying this way: Lord, change the way that I think. Change the way that I feel about things. Change the way that I do. Change my attitude. Amen. You know, it was the desire to be a saint that caused the psalmist to cry out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Amen. That's what it means to be called to be a saint. And so I want it to be emphatic tonight. We are called to be saints. Now, I'm going to ask us to do something that's going to feel really weird and uncomfortable. And I think it's because we associate this word with Roman Catholicism and maybe the Mormons and others. But it's going to feel really weird, okay? I want you to look at the person next to you. Think of their name first, okay? If you have a problem, ask them what their name is. And then I want you to, and let them reciprocate, I want you to take the word saint and then say their name. So like Saint Joe, or would you do that? Now, some of you know you're lying when you say it, but anyway. How many said that felt a little uncomfortable? Okay. Now, let me ask you to do something else. I want you to do this out loud, but I want you to take the word saint and then say your own name after it. So I would say Saint Clifford. Do that. Say your own name. Now, for how many did that feel even more uncomfortable? What I'm trying to illustrate here, saint is not a title. Saint is a goal. It's a pursuit. It's a desire. This is a message in itself, but some people never get this. Did you know the moment you get saved, you are a saint in God's eyes? You are a holy one. Why? Because you don't get any more holy than the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus' blood washes you, you are immediately, completely in position in the eyes of God, in the state of your inner soul. You are a saint when you get saved. But how many knows, even though the blood of Jesus covers us, and when God looks at us, He sees the blood of Jesus, how many knows there's still a lot underneath the blood that needs worked on? Right? And so called to be saint, you're a saint when you get saved, but the call is to become in practice what we are in position before God. God has called us saints, and now we are called to be in practice what He has seen us to be through Jesus Christ. You see, here's the way it works. A call to be saint is God allowing God to work out His salvation, work out His spirit, the work that He's done in our hearts, to work that out through all of our life and living. Look, how many knows that what you see in the world is people allowing their flesh to work itself out in their lives? What you see, the sin, the wickedness, the perversion, that's nothing more than people allowing their flesh to be worked out in their decisions, their life, their pursuits. Well, the opposite is true with the call to be saints. God has done a work in our hearts. And to be a saint is when we allow God and seek God to work that out through all of our life and our living. The trouble is, if God doesn't live within, if God hasn't changed your heart, there's nothing to work out. There's nothing to come out. There's nothing to be expressed. Aren't you glad, amen, that he does do a work inside, and then he begins to work that out through all of our life and our living. Amen. I think if folks really grasp that we're called to be saints, every worship service would be full of passion. If people really get a grip on we're called to be saints, every prayer meeting would bombard heaven. Amen. If people really get what it means to that we're called to be saints, they wouldn't be gossiping about each other or criticizing one another or cutting one another down. If people really get it, what it means to be called to be a saint, they'll want to be a light to the lost and reach out to those that are around them. Amen. And so let's bring this all together. Being holy, being a saint, starts with self, but it leads away from self. I got to begin with me. I've got to seek to be holy. I must fight the self of my life. If you're not fighting yourself, maybe there's not a new nature there to fight self, right? If there's a new nature there, there's going to be a fight with self. Come on, let's just be honest. How many had to fight self even to get here this morning? All right? It begins there. Amen. And so we begin with self. And Paul uses words like we crucify self. Scripture says we wash that self with the word. We begin with self. And then we begin not only want to be holy, be a saint for ourselves, but we want to be holy for our family. We're not there in John, amen. But Jesus said, I sanctify myself for your sakes, for the disciples' sake. I want to be a saint for my family. I guarantee you some kids need dad to be a saint. They need mom to be a saint. And I'll guarantee you parents need their children to be saints. I want to be a saint for my community and my church. There's the movement away from self when we realize we're called to be saints. Now, I don't have time to go in this. We make the effort, we set the set of ourselves, but in the end, it's cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit, because Paul is very emphatic in Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by self-effort? And the answer is no. It's a work of the Spirit that we cooperate with in our desires and our pursuits. Amen. Amen. And so when I just see this thing being about the love of God, amen, I'll see myself as the focus of worship. And worship must be customized to my taste. Worship must be customized to my preferences. Amen. Preaching has to be what I want to hear. But if I realize I'm called to be a saint, it changes everything. Amen. I begin to participate in worship. I participate in the preaching. I participate in the ministry. You know, I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm really not. But I generally can tell folks who recognize we're called to be saints because they're right with you when you're preaching the word. They're right there. Amen. I know there's always times our minds wander. Amen. I don't know if you're that way, but I'll be praying and my mind will wander 100 miles. And I just have to say, oh, Lord, forgive me for letting my mind wander. I know that. But I'm talking about the general drift of people. Amen. It's the people that are intense in worship. Amen. They're with you in the preaching of the word. They recognize we are called to be saints. It's a matter of participating. You know, they used to put it very simply this way. This difference between church being about me or me being about the church. And you probably heard an old timer say it. Don't ask what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. That's moving from self outward. Would you come, music? I've got to quit saying this. I've just been reflective on it. Because I'm thinking just less than a year, I have ministered for 40 years. And that's a lot of looking at people, and that's a lot of people looking at me. But you can't miss some things. You really can't. And I'm not trying to be critical, but I want to tell you the truth is when I see folks sour up in their faith, when I see folks who find something to criticize about every singer, every message. When I see folks that are just unhappy with church and serving God, and let that be known, in every case, you're looking at someone that it's made it about them. They've made serving God about themselves. They've made church about themselves. They've made praying about themselves. They've made ministry about themselves. And that direction towards self has caused that response. But when you have a person that's moving away from self, you know what you'll discover in their attitude? You'll discover gratitude, thanksgiving, hunger, desire. Why? They realize they're called to be saints. And so we're in a momentous time as in the church world, and things are happening and things are shifting, and that's another message. But here's my challenge. Years ago in a church, I had a man that told me, a brother, he said, I've been Pentecostal. But he said, I just don't believe in speaking in tongues anymore. I remember asking the question, please help me with this. Which came first? Did you quit believing in speaking in tongues and then quit speaking in tongues? Or did you quit speaking in tongues and then start not believing in speaking in tongues? You know what the answer was? It had to be. I quit speaking in tongues, and then I changed my belief. I think we're at the place as the people of God, we must not say, well, our experience has dropped to this level, so let's change our beliefs. We ought to be, this was our belief. It's biblical. It's a call of God. We're called to be saints. And rather than bringing the belief down to my current experience, I want my experience to be brought up to the level of my belief. Amen. Amen. Could you stand? God, thank you. If you're here this evening and you're not currently serving God, let me tell you something. God loves you. God loves you. Amen. I was thinking tonight in the prayer room, that simple scripture from Romans 5, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you grateful for his love? But I want to tell you, he loves us too much. Even in forgiving us, he loves us too much to leave us in our sinful lifestyle, our sinful habits of thought, our sinful habits. He loves us too much. Not only does he love us to save us, but he loves us enough to call us to be saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever prayed this way, but I wonder if tonight you couldn't just pray, God, I'm going to answer the call like I never have before. I want to be a saint, not a religious title. I just want to be one of your chosen, holy people that shows your love and your grace and your light to a lost world by the difference I allow you to make in my own heart and life. Amen. If you need Christ tonight, whatever your need is, this time of the altar is a time to seek the Lord and to discover him. So can I say it? Saints, let's come and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Revelation, a healing.